So let's go ahead and get started. It's Swords Marriage Seminar Part 5. So why are we teaching these seminars? You know, I mean, marriage and relationships, I have probably hundreds of books on it. A lot of things have been written on it, you know, but why are we teaching, you know, it seems like we're constantly as ministers teaching the people of God about marriage and relationships and what a woman should be like according to the Word of God. What a man should be like according to the Word of God. And this is the reason why, is this paragraph right here. Neuroscience says 95% of who we are by the time we're 35 years old is a memorized set of behaviors, emotional reactions, unconscious habits. Unconscious means you are not even aware that you have these habits inside of you until you've done the habit and you go, why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. I didn't mean to do that. It's hardwired attitudes. In other words, let's keep going. Hardwired attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions that function like a computer program. So we've been programmed. We've been programmed since the fall of man by Satan, by this world system, by the curse of the law, by generations and generations and generations of people who went at life. That's what I'm finding out, people, is that we're going at life not really truly understanding what we're doing, the value of this time here on earth. Every moment is important, people. And we're here for a reason. You know, Pastor said this many years ago, and my spirit caught on to that. And I actually live by that. I put it on Facebook. And what he said was, this time on earth is for us to prove the kind of person we've chosen to be. So your time on earth is a proving time. And it's very true. It's scriptural because you are making your choices right now. So much so that you can choose to go to heaven or you can choose to go to the other place. That's how much in control we are of our lives, our destinies, whether we grow and evolve, whether we stay, you know, all like a little amoeba and never really evolve into anything or be of any significant value. Amen. So the thing is that a lot of times it's grandma taught it and we bought it. We've been learning this and learning this and learning this and learning this. I remember Pastor Nine, people, and I say this with caution and all humility, we used to go to marriage seminars for ministers. And we stopped going because it was ridiculous. We would spend money on hotels. We would, get a babysitter for the children, and we would go and try to sin under there, trying to learn, trying to be better in our marriages, trying to be better in our family, being a sort of a mentor as a pastor. And we would go, and the things that we would learn were really, really, some of them were silly. Some of them were like, I remember one of the conferences, they majored on hygiene. Oh my gosh, if you don't know to brush your teeth, if you don't know to use a little mouthwash if you need it, if you don't know to take a shower at least every other day, if you don't know that, you know, it's important to wear a little cologne, a little perfume, so that you can be attractive to your mate, if you don't know that, then we're really back in almost like the caveman days. That's something that's very elementary that everyone should know. And those are the kinds of things we would hear. And it was just so crazy. It used to break my heart. The things that God is showing us right now is it's so powerful. It's going to overturn all the stuff that we've been learning all along about relationships and get right back to the basics of what God wanted all the way back into the Garden of Eden. He had something in mind in regards to marriage and relationships. Amen. Let's keep going here. A true biblical family. Here's a house that represents a home. The father, The husband is the cover. He is the covering for the family, for the wife. The mother, the wife, is the heart of the home. She sets the atmosphere. She watches over her household. She makes sure that if she sees one of her little children is down, she goes and finds out why. If the husband is tired, she keeps an eye on that. She monitors. She's like a thermostat in the home to make sure that there is joy, there is peace, there is love. People are laughing. People are enjoying themselves. If we can't enjoy ourselves in our home, people, then we are at a loss. And that's why so many people end up leaving the home to have fun and to go and find peace because they're not finding it at home. The mother is so important in the home. And then Jesus is our foundation. Everything that we're going to build should be on Christ and his word. That's just the way it's got to be. I have lived now, I am 71 years old and proud of it. I love it. I think it's amazing that God, he has saved my life like three different times, and I'm so grateful. I'm here. I'm still working for him. I love him. I love his people. But 71 years at going at this, and I have seen so much, people. You see a lot. I mean, we used to travel. We'd go out of state to conferences to get the knowledge so we could be prepared to teach you. And we learned so much along the way, counseling hundreds and hundreds of people by now. And I can tell you that any person that does not build their house on the rock, on Jesus, on his word, is virtually... you're grasping the air. You're grasping the wind. It's not going to last. The storms of life are going to come. People are going to end up leaving. The marriage is going to be mediocre at best. And that's not what any of us want. Not one person listening tonight or that will listen online is asking for a mediocre life. I don't care if my mate doesn't love me. I'm still going to marry them. And when I have kids, I don't care if they don't respect me, if they don't love me. None of us started off that way. But when we do not set ourselves to search the word of God, Lord God, what am I doing here with a family, with a wife, or what am I doing with a husband and the children? Then we're not ever going to have that information. Amen. Remember, people, God does not cast his pearl before swine. He needs to know that he needs to know that you want the deeper revelations, the beautiful secrets that God holds for those who follow him and who love him. Next two seminars, September 15th and November 3rd, I believe that's what it says. I think so. Yes, November 3rd. So we are rewiring our brain, and this requires patience. You cannot get frustrated. You're going to blow it. I can tell you right now the things you're learning. You're going to put it into motion. You're going to put it to work 1 or 2 days, and then bam, on the third day, you're going to mess up. Big deal. You are absolutely rewiring your brain. It is internal engineering of our inner man. But the good news is that we're all in the same boat. Pastor and I are learning alongside of you. There is no one that has this right. I have seen ministers that you probably worship because they are so up there in the food chain of Christianity. And you think, oh my God, if I could only be like them. Oh my God, if I could only have what they have. And I've gotten a chance to see some of them in action as couples and his mates, and let me tell you, we are no different than the regular man unless we've been seeking God. Amen. Number three, God never loses faith or gives up on us. Thank God for that. He is never going to say, you know what? I gave you the information and I gave you 2 weeks to get it right. Too bad. You're out. No, never. God is patient and he is kind. Amen. That is why anything to do with him will be good news. And according to him, it is never too late to do the word and to reap the blessings from our obedience. Number four, please continue to look at these teachings as direction, not correction. No one is being corrected here in the sense of, why haven't you been doing this? You should have known better. No, none of us knew better. It hasn't been taught. The baton was dropped with Adam all the way back. Everything he knew about loving his wife. I mean, the beauty of the relationship, the intimacy, the sensuality, the exclusivity, all of that. And when he fell, he went under the curse of the law. And I'm going to talk about that and what happens to a man when he goes under that. That's going to be a little bit later, probably maybe the next session or the one after that for sure. But it is never too late to do the word and to reap the blessings from our obedience. Number four, please continue to look at these teachings as direction, not correction. If you knew better, you would have done better. And in this case, regarding relationships, it is completely true because we all want love in our lives. We all want to love others in the best way possible. Loving ourselves and others is an art that only God can teach. We must go to God to learn how to love and how to receive love. Some people are like, I want to learn how to love others, but they don't know how to receive love for themselves. Or they are very unlovable because of all the damage that's happened to them, and they make it very hard for people to love them. We're going to talk about all of that as we go along. So, family, look at that beautiful picture. We may not have it all together, but together we have it all. Amen? And that's the truth, people. No family is going to be perfect this side of heaven. Only the family of God is perfect in heaven. So we're going to do our best. And it's too bad if we're not all that yet, but at least we have it all because we are together. Amen? Now, a word of encouragement for our men. Please, men, listen to what I'm going to share here. If your wife initially does not follow you as a spiritual leader, as you begin to take your place as the covering for your family and as a leader to them, no problem. Just set yourself to concentrate on you. It all starts with the leader anyway, right? Because it is the leader that sets the tone that others may follow. So a true leader prepares himself first, before he leads others. Many follow. So a true leader prepares himself first before he leads others. This fact remains. Our example is not the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. Men, listen to me. The greatest weapon, if you want to, the greatest tool, the greatest ability that you can present to your family to get them starting to walk with God the way God has commanded us to is going to be your example. You've got to set the example first, amen? And that comes in the heels of you being the leader of the home, of you being the priest and the prophet of your home, of you being a son of God, of you being his under ruler, of you ruling and reigning on this earth, amen? You have to set yourself to have a powerful example. And it starts today. Make up your mind. It's that simple, people. We make it way too comfortable. How am I ever going to be an example? I know who I am. I know how weak I am. Or I know how much I fail. Or, you know, I know my past. Whatever it is, you can start today and get all that garbage off of you, amen? And just say, I'm going to be an example. A leader has been defined as one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. I love that. If I were a guy, I'd be taking a picture of that because that's so powerful. That's everything in a nutshell. So your path going forward is actually quite simple. For now, just set yourself to concentrate on building your relationship, your submission, your testimony, and your place with God, regardless of everything else. This world is upside down, people. I don't know if you know that. I hope you are spiritual enough that when you're driving around, especially out in the streets at home, we don't feel it as much because hopefully you're living with a whole bunch of Christians, you know, your wife, your children, hopefully you're all born again. But when you're going outside and you're in, you know, driving around in the world at large, I hope you are sensing and feeling that the world is upside down. Something is not right. I'm hearing celebrities, actors, news commentators, philosophers, everyone is basically acknowledging that this is something's going on. It's really off. And especially because we're in the end of days, amen. So the world is upside down. And it is the men of God, you, the men of God, that will help turn it right side up within our homes and our lives and our future. Not so much in the world. There's a curse on the planet that Adam brought. And so we're not going to be able to right, you know, turn upside right the planet, but we're going to do it in our homes and with our relationships and so on. Now, this is not impossible. If God appoints, he anoints. You contain all you need to step into your place, including the anointing to do so. You are equipped to do this by God, your commander in chief. He will help you accomplish his will for all of you. You are not alone. Men, you are not alone. You are God's hope. You are his sons. And he's going to help you every step of the way. So your father will guide you. Amen. Praise God. Now, real growth is when you start checking and correcting yourself instead of blaming others. You take your power back by being responsible for your life. You know, and this is classic. Oh, this was Bill and Eva for the first 20 years, 25 years of our marriage. The good old finger pointing. Well, I would be good if you would. And I would be a better husband if you would. We would point fingers all the time. Because that's a human response. It's like, I'm being attacked here. I'm being held accountable and I don't like it. So I'm going to bring out your dirty laundry now. And it goes back and forth and nothing's accomplished. Amen. But when we take accountability and we put ourselves in a position of, I'm going to change myself, whether anybody else changes or not. Listen, do it for this reason, if anything, men and women tonight. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And he's coming for his bride, his holy bride, the church. And we want to be ready. Amen. So men, whether anyone responds, from now on, everything you do going forward should be between you and the Father. That is how this whole thing becomes real. And those around you will see that it's real. When a wife or family see that everything you are doing is for God and that it is real, that it really is God's will, they generally will follow. When they see you in the Word of God, when they see you in church, when they see you in prayer, when you're quick to pray, if someone gets hurt in the home, you jump in, let me pray. Or at the mealtime, I think it's a beautiful thing. My husband always prays over the meal. And I think it's awesome that he does that. We all agree. We thank God for the blessing before us. We sanctify it so it doesn't hurt us. I don't know if you know this, but our food quality is going down the tubes by day. We need to pray over our meal. And men, this is a great opportunity for you to say, let me pray. And step in there and pray, amen. When the children were smaller, we would rotate and we would have them pray. You know, and we would pray, and they would pray, and we would pray, and that's how we taught them how to pray. Glory to God. So, when they see you in the Word of God, when they see you in church, when they see you in prayer, when they see you speak the Word and live the Word, they will see for themselves that they can yield to you and that they can trust your leading. Understand that before a man makes this transition from a mere man to a son of God, the wife is left with the fact that it's your way or my way. And which is fair, people? Seriously, before Bill fell into a groove, a pattern, a relationship with God, everything that I'm talking about here, before he did that, I would look at him and I'd say, Bill, you don't understand. Women are intelligent. Women are strong. And you know what, Bill? It is very hard to do what the Word says, to tune our life over to someone else, to to submit to the man. I would tell him, you know, which opinion is better here, yours or mine? But once I saw him take off with God and become so rooted and grounded in the word, I began to trust my husband's opinions. And when he would put, you know, when he would voice, we need to go in this direction, we need to do this, I began to listen more and more because I knew that God was involved. Amen? So men, make it easy on yourself and your wife. She's going to have a hard time submitting. She's going to probably arm wrestle you a lot until she knows that she knows that she knows that you truly have laid your life down to hear from God. Amen? Glory to God, people. I love this quote. I stand behind you because I trust you to lead the way. And then the man says, I lead the way because I know you'll always have my back. So women, we got to trust and have their back so they can get their job done. Amen. So for now, forget about everyone around you while you transition into this awesome, honored place with God as his son, as his under ruler, as his image on the earth. This isn't about people taking you seriously because God does. Did you hear me? Who cares if no one in the entire planet takes you seriously if God does? We're about to see him face to face, people. That's all that's going to matter, amen? It should be mattering now. So this isn't about people giving you place, because God is giving you place around his table. He is inviting you in to step into that place God gave man in the very beginning. This place you're going to is about power, strength, rulership, dignity, honor, wisdom. And it's all spiritual. It's the real thing. You're going to find out. And, you know, we're going to remove the veneer off of the men and women and family. And we're going to see that for the most part, all of us have been operating on a worldly concept of authority and power. And, you know, there's a difference between men and women and so on. It's all a counterfeit. What God is offering you men right now, first the men, and then we'll talk to the women for sure, is real, authentic authority, power, strength, dignity, honor. It just goes on and on. What God is promising to you, if you will trust him and if you will follow his leading. Amen? So it's, you know, all of these things is the real thing. We're all going to become the real thing, by golly, before the Lord returns. If I have anything to do with it, I have been searching God, Lord God, you know, and people think they're getting ready for the rapture. Most of it is fear. We get ready for the rapture by becoming a glorious family, by becoming unified, by the man finally taking his place, by the woman finally finding her place, and by us walking with God. Amen? I heard this thing and I sent it to Pastor. It actually scared me straight, and I hope to God it's not real. I'm hoping it isn't true. And what it said was, somebody asked, what happens to the kids during the rapture? What's going to happen to the children in the rapture? And somebody responded that's supposed to be in some kind of ministry. And they said, and they cited a scripture. And they said that the children are at the mercy of the parents. And if the parents aren't walking with God, then the children are basically not going to go. Because it's a family. And when the family, when the mother and the father sanctify themselves and set themselves apart and walk with God, the children are automatically sanctified. Amen? So there are scriptures that allude to that, and it concerns me. Because not every husband, not every wife is walking with the Lord the way we need to in this day and hour. Amen? So I pray for your children's sake that you take this seriously. You know, so anyway, let's keep going. So be encouraged. God is claiming you as his own. God is calling in the men of God to him. He needs you. Remember the immense impact of the one man. In one of the epistles, it says, through the one man, sin entered and spread to all mankind. But through one man, sin was removed, and basically the entire world is saved. They just need to receive it. So there is such a thing as the power of the one man. And remember remember Noah? He was able to save the planet before it got flooded. What about Abraham? Through Abraham, God was able to institute the Abrahamic covenant and it's begin to spread. Moses, Ten Commandments, Moses freeing the children of Israel. These men were one man that decided to believe and trust God and took it as far as they could. Amazing, amazing things that they were able to accomplish. But then also remember Adam. Adam, through one decision, changed the course of all humanity. And to this day, and it's coming to an end. Though you could say that Adam's consequence is coming to an end. God will right the wrongs, amen? But understand, men, that you can be as powerful as any of these men. God doesn't pick and choose. It's like, oh, no, Bill, you cannot be anything significant in my life. No, it's our hunger before God. It's our sincerity before God. It's our desire to live right that gets us into that place with God, amen, where he can trust us. He can release these awesome, powerful things for us to do for him. So be encouraged, because as you initiate this new path, you will enter into this process with peace, humility, and great hope. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Powerful. Isaiah 43:18, I love these scriptures. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. You may be sitting there going, yeah, Pastor Eva's trying to teach us all these things, but she doesn't know my wife. My wife is a nightmare. We always fighting. We've tried to divorce each other 3 times now. maybe you've been married before and it all failed, or, you know, you've had a lot of boyfriends, a lot of girlfriends, whatever your past is. Maybe your parents divorced and you went through hell with all of that and you learned all these horrible things about relationships through them. God is telling you, do not remember those things. Let them go. Let them go. Let your past go tonight. God does not remember your past, and neither should you. He is giving you a blank new, it's a brand new diary, a journal. Diary for the women, journal for the men. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things that you did that were old. Let go of that garbage. That is the devil. I need you to hear this and hear this as clearly as you can. Guilt and shame are never of God. God will never guilt you for your past or what you've done, and he will never put you to shame. If you turn to him, he will always, if you repent, he will always forgive you, and he will wipe you clean of all your unrighteousness and act as if nothing ever happened. But in the process, he might end up here and there through scripture, correcting you so that you don't fall into that pit again. Amen. I love this quote here. Life humbles you as you age. You realize how much time you wasted on nonsense. All the fights over nothing. Over nothing. They meant nothing. They abounded and they added up to nothing. The ridiculousness of, oh, I'm going to teach her, I'm going to teach him. Oh my God, let me tell you, this is a very true quote. Pastor and I, we are at the place where we refuse to fight. Now, we don't always agree, But in the past, when we wouldn't agree, it was like, boom, boom, boom. No, you got to listen to me. No, you're going to listen to me. Now, when we disagree, it's this and quickly goes away because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Your opinion and your wife's opinion doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what matters is the word of God. People, you're going to learn that the hard way. No, well, I want to live over there. And I want to have that kind of car. And I want to have these many kids. And I want to become a millionaire before 30. All of these things. We need to run by God. Because he will always have your best interest in mind. Amen. Glory to God. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is so perfect for these marriage seminars because he is going to bring a new thing and he's going to cause it to spring up if you will trust these teachings, people. They are not from me. I did not even ask for these teachings. I wasn't searching for them. God commanded me because I am his servant. And he said, you will teach this to my people because I have a heart to help people in counseling and all of that. I want you to succeed. He knows my heart. So he's going to bring in a new thing. And then who cares if your marriage right now is like this dusty old desert wilderness? Who cares? It's going to become beautiful, plush, abundant, flourishing. Amen? Because God promises this. A submitted man earns honor and respect with God and man. There is nothing more powerful than God honoring you and respecting you. And he will. And especially if God does that, then those that are intuitive about good will also do the same thing with you. The entirety of the word of God will back him up as an ally. When you are submitted, the word of God backs you up because you are walking in the word. You are living by the word and you have the word as your backup. Amen. God will be his defensor. God fights for the righteous man. God fights for that man that climbs up that hill against his own instinct to become that thing that God's called him to be. God will call him his friend. Gosh, as we become more and more sincere people, God draws you closer and closer. He looks for sincerity more than anything else. He doesn't like the con. He doesn't like the crying. He doesn't like the give me one more chance. He doesn't like any of that. He just wants you to get sincere once and for all with him. Great favor will come upon him. And there's a scripture that we're going to, it's coming. His life will begin to work for him supernaturally. So Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, let alone the wife, amen, and the children. We will come into peace with you when you are pleasing the Lord. He'll make sure that happens for you. There's so much that God will do if you will do your part, amen. He comes in to help you, man, and he will stand. This is the last one. And he will stand in absolute and perfect righteousness as he bows his knee and obeys Christ his King. We want to stand in that perfect righteousness. Amen. And righteousness really truly comes through faith. When we believe God, when we can trust God with everything. You know, the things I have to share, people, are astronomical. I will say this, the Holy Spirit, just from the moment I started, he's been telling me this. The most important thing you will ever, 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 ever do on this earth is be a proper, godly husband and father. Nothing is more important to God than that. And what you're going to hear is going to strip the world off of you, and you're going to be able to stand free and make some decisions finally about how you're going to end in this life, or how you are going to finish out this life that's ending quickly. But the most important thing, hear me please, is what kind of a husband you turned out to be and what kind of a father. That is the most important thing to God, because nothing is more important to God than people. Nothing, 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 nothing in this world. No status, no money, no accomplishment, no titles, no homes, no lands, no notoriety. Nothing matters more to God than the kind of person you were at home. That is from the Holy Spirit. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Men, if you want direction, if you want God to help you in the first beginning steps of this new path, new journey we're all going into, this is the scripture you want to stand on. It comes replete with relationship, covenant relationship. It's replete with promises of how your life will flourish. I would memorize these two scriptures and four. I would memorize them and stand on those as you begin your journey. This is perfect for all of us to begin our journey, men and women. Truths about relationships. Now, the time is rushing by, but we got started about 10 minutes late because we were having issues. So I'm going to go 10 minutes a little extra. Truths about relationships. This is going to be awesome. The sincerity of a husband is known during an illness of a wife. Some husbands don't even look at their wives when they're struggling, when they're sick, when they're feeble, when they're weak. If anything, you could pray for her. If anything, bring her some water. It just shows people. I can't tell you how true that is. The sincerity of a wife is known during difficult financial situations the husband may face. I have seen women get violently angry when they are working and the husband loses his job. Angry, in front of me. I have seen women have nervous breakdowns because they're working and the husband can't find a job. That's the ultimate of test, of support and love. Honey, let us pray. God will provide a job for you. I have compassion in you, my love. You lost your job. Let's pray. But I have seen completely the opposite. He better get a job and quick, because I ain't supporting this family by myself. What? Oh, women. Our day is coming, women, including me. I'll be the first one in line to get corrected. Praise God. The true love of the children is known during the old age of the parents. Oh man, this one convicted me, you know, because I could have, we all could have gone to see our parents just a little more, a call, take them some pan dulce, you know, make them some chocolate and pan dulce, sweet bread, anything. Just spend a little time with them. But the love of children is known during the old age of the parents. And then the true nature of siblings is known during the distribution of an inheritance. Oh my God, if this isn't true. Let me tell you, it's true. I've had to pray for many families who are going through their trust and their inheritance, and the whole family disintegrates because of money. Next, the sincerity of friends is known during hard times. When you are having a hard time and you're disoriented and you're lost and you don't know which end is up, and somebody calls you and they say, look, we're going out. I'm going to buy you a nice little dinner here. We're going to talk. I'm going to spend some time with you. No, you know what it is? Oh, no, don't call them. We don't want them around. They're Debbie Downers right now. They're going through a lot of stuff. Well, let this check you, amen. And then true love is known when there is no means of benefit. This is very, very true. The Word of God is very, very clear about whenever you do something, don't expect anything back. In fact, you're not, when you give with your right hand, don't let your left hand know what it's doing. That's how much God wants us to remove ourselves from our good deeds. You give it and you walk away. Amen. You don't bring it up. You don't keep it as later on, you know, as an ace. Remember when I did that for you? No. Just give. Become a giver. The more you give, the more God will give to you. I promise you that. And then a true believer is known during hard times. How are you when you're going through a hard time? Do you forget all your Christianity? Do you forget all your scriptures? Do you forget to confess the word? Do you forget to reach out for prayer at least? We're always here to pray. We love to pray for people. But you will be known. A real believer stays the course. What is the course? The Word of God. Amen? Praise God. And if when it's all over, I am asked what I did with my life, I want to be able to say, I offered love. Oh, men. Oh, men, please understand. I think you guys were so gypped because of the fall and it all got turned upside down that you're forced to be a certain way and men, you know, men don't cry and men, you know, don't really say I love you, you know, and, you know, because if you say it a lot, then it won't mean anything. That's a bunch of garbage. Bunch of garbage. I read this quote one time that changed my life. That's why I always try to encourage. When I text you, I try very hard to encourage you to love on you. Is because it says, the quote basically said, I'm going to paraphrase it. Before your life is over, leave no words unsaid. Kind words, loving words, encouraging words. Why are you saving them? That is so selfish. Don't save the words. Don't save the tears. If you are moved, cry for heaven's sakes. Jesus cried. And be free. Jesus was so affectionate and loving. Be free to say, amen. Shower people with your love and let it be verbal. Verbal, showing it, hug, kiss. Oh my God, my husband and I don't know how many times a day we kiss. We hug when we have a chance. It's beautiful. My son, he's so precious. He'll hug me. Mom, you know, I taught my kids something that I learned. Every time you hug someone, you help them live longer. So if someone's not hugging you, maybe they don't want you to. Just kidding. Okay, the next quote is, having a soft heart in a cruel world is strength, not weakness. And it goes back to what I said and committed to myself. When everything begins to disintegrate hardcore, and it will, and it is, I refuse to lose my decency and my good heart. I am not going to become a savage beast trying to hang on to my last cracker. No, we're not going to be like that. We're going to trust God, and we're going to lay hands on the 2 fish and 5 loaves and have them multiply that thing for us. Amen. The kingdom of God is here. Glory to God. And then the last one is, a family doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be united. Very true. Once again, it's not about being perfect, people. You don't have to say everything perfect and all that. But you look for things. I look for these things. Is my family united? Are we walking with God? I keep an eye on those things, people. Loving the wife as Christ commands. So now, we're going to take off. We're going to go quickly through this because I am following the leading of God. And you know what, people? If any of you think, oh my God, I think we already read that. Oh my God. Listen, I can guarantee you, you haven't even started doing what we've been reading. It takes a lot of repetition to get it inside of you so that you can begin to do the word. Amen. You have to meditate on the word. You have to get it into you. I once took a class at the university that said that you have to listen to something 300 times before it becomes completely natural to you and you remember it. I mean, where you're doing it and it's inside of you and it's a part of you. So let's go. Number one, the husband is to model to his wife the very love of Christ himself by the very way he loves her. Ephesians parallels the love Christ has for his church, his bride, as that of a man with his bride, his own wife. Christ is asking man to love his wife the way Christ has loved all his church. Man is a continuation of the love of God on the earth. And this continuation of Christ's love is to begin in our homes. Remember always, people, religion always begins at home. Always. You can't go out there and save the world and then come home and yell at everybody and your house is all disintegrated. No, our religion begins at home. And then a man will treat his wife the way he really feels about her. Did you hear that? But in the divine order God has put in place, Christ is the center of all that you are. That's first and foremost. Christ must be your center, your very heart. Then your wife is the most important person here on the earth to you. She is God's gift to you. She is your portion. She is your woman. And what did we do? Our bosses became the most important person. If they say you're going on a trip for 2 weeks, oh, yes, sir. If you're our friends, hey, we're going out this Saturday. This guy's getting married. We're throwing him at a party. And your wife, you haven't gone out. You haven't taken her anywhere. Honey, I really need to go. The guys need me there. Men, listen to me. I know you don't want to hear this, but this is God's order. First is Christ always, and then your wife. You know, if let's say the most important person to you, some of you have sports figures that you really look up to, no problem. Some of you, maybe the president, you know, maybe your boss, maybe, you know, someone really important, that an actor or actress that you really look up to. If they were riding in the car with you, you would be at your best behavior. You would be so kind and polite. You'd probably get out and open the door for them. I mean, you would be bending over backwards to make a good impression. Those people are strangers compared to the person that's become one with you. Your wife is the most important person to you. And until we start understanding these things, people, we are never going to get it right. And our children, you know why? All hell has broken loose with the children. And why the devil is coming after this next generation? Is because our homes are not strong. Our children are not rooted and grounded. We should be preparing them for the things that are coming. And it starts with the husband and then the wife doing this in the home. But men, understand that that woman, once you asked God to add his blessing, let's say you married a person that you were never supposed to marry. Once, because in that day you were so in love and you couldn't wait for the honeymoon night and you just had to have that person. Well, when you got married, God, when you got married before a minister, God added his blessing to your marriage. So now you got God involved in what you did. Now he's involved in your covenant with that woman. That's why he says, what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. That's why he hates divorce. Because it's like, really? You made all that fuss. You paid all that money for your wedding. You call all your friends as witnesses. You had me through the minister bless your union. And now you're just saying, nix, God, get out of the way. I'm out of here. These are serious things, people. These are very important, serious things. So the most important person to you on this earth is your wife. Not your boss. Not your career. Not your friends. Not your mistress. Not that cute girl in the office that you go to lunch with and nobody knows about. No. And guess what, men? I'm going to say this because you need to hear it. I know you love me. I know you trust me. So I'm very cautious to say this. You are to love your wife first and then the children. You know how many men give up on the marriage and the wife, but they stay because of the kids. So they have a relationship with the kids. They love the children and the wife is out somewhere. That's not right. We've got to get this right. I told you it was going to challenge your Christianity to hear these messages, but it's the truth, people. I have lived long on this earth to understand and seen many marriages come and go. Ministers get divorced all the time, people. So your wife is the most important person on the earth. Christ remains everything, the center of our being, first and foremost. Amen. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love in a moral sense your wives. Okay, how? Just as Christ also loved the church. There's no misunderstanding here. You, if you're going to do this right, are going to love her the way Christ loved his church and gave, surrendered, committed himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with a washing of water by the word. Then, after you've done your part spiritually with her, that he might present her to himself a glorious, which means splendid, gorgeous, honorable, noble church or wife, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated, detest, persecute, or love less his own flesh, but nourishes to rear up, to maturity, to train, and cherishes it, to warm, to foster, look after, care for, treasures, values, prizes, appreciates, reveres, esteems, and takes pleasure in, just as the Lord does the church. Verse 30. For we are members of his body. You are members of a family, of his flesh and of his bones. And in a biblical way, your wife is part of your flesh. You become one during the intimate act of sex. And your children are flesh of your bones. So you're all members of one body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined. That means to glue to adhere, stand by, stick to, hold, remain, and cling to, and cleave, which means join, self, to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Become one or be divided. I don't understand what I put that there, but become one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word respect means to frighten, to be in awe, that is to revere, exceedingly reverence. You know what's interesting? We mock our husbands. We laugh at them. We laugh behind their back. We hold them in contempt. We must respect and reverence and in some ways be in awe of our husbands, ladies. Ephesians, I'm going to stop with this. Ephesians instructs every man how to love his wife. He is to, number one, love his wife in a moral sense. That means to be faithful, to keep his vows that he made to her before God and man during their marriage ceremony. He is to remain loyal. He is not going to stray from her emotionally. He's not going to have an emotional affair somewhere with some other lady. He may not cross the line physically, but he's all attached and enamored with somebody else. Soulishly, where, you know, he really is attracted to someone else and he gets along with someone else better than his own wife or physically. We know that, right? That means sexually. And then he won't defraud her. He won't deceive her out of things that belong to her. Defraud her in any way financially. He's not going to have a separate account just in case. He's not going to hold on to the money and not give her anything. She should be able to know everything financially. And then socially, include her when you go out. Include her when you're out with a group of people. Excuse me. We are so healed. We are completely healed, actually. And then intimately, we're going to talk about that and break it down for you. Intimately doesn't mean just sexually, people. You can be very intimate without any sex. Intimate is when you make room for the other person, when you open yourself up, when you learn to connect, when you learn to cleave to one another. Amen. Number two, man should study the love God has for his church. You should get in the word and look at what Jesus did for all of us so that he can comprehend the breadth and depth of true godly love. Why? Because this is the standard God has given to man. If he is to love his wife properly and according to the word of God. Number three, man is to give, surrender, commit himself for her. This requires absolute trust in God because men, and I don't blame you, all the way from Eve usurping her place with her man and taking the lead and going with the serpent and listening to the serpent. And then after that, the fallen Eve and every woman. that we've got to deal with and we got to get rid of. I don't blame you for having up walls. I don't. And I don't blame you for being suspicious. I don't. But somewhere along the line, we're going to have to trust God that He's got our back. And if we do our part, He's going to make sure to protect us, to help us. People, somewhere we've got to start. So this requires absolute trust in God and His word equally. If He surrenders to her, that means He is going to trust her. He is going to believe the best of her in faith, that she will reciprocate. She will return this yielding of herself as well. In yielding up himself, he is also committing to not having a separate life from theirs. His single days are over. His running around is over. His being cutesy and, you know, all sexy at work or wherever, out in the street or in the store or whatever, those days are over. He has surrendered himself to her. He has given himself to her. You don't understand. I don't think my wife deserves it. Did you deserve it when Jesus surrendered and committed to you on that cross? Because he did. He took a chance. He trusted God that one day you would understand and you would receive, and then you would begin to yield yourself and surrender and commit. It's called the law of sowing and reaping. You can't expect something if you're not sowing, if you're not giving. Amen? So the thing is, people, is that men, I know, and I see it, I understand it. Sometimes when people come to counseling, I see the wife and I'm like, oh dear God, this man is a saint. I understand sometimes what you have to deal with. But at the same time, is your trust in that woman who cannot be trusted? Or is your trust in God who will repay you 100-fold for doing the right thing? Remember in the beginning, we started this whole teaching with the fact that you're doing everything now between you and God. Forget everyone else. Forget everyone else. People are falling out of this teaching, and you know why? My wife's never going to listen. She's never going to get in line. It's not about your wife. It's about you. We are focusing right now on getting our men walking with God in that awesome, glorious, amazing place that He has given to every single male on this planet. Amen? Oh, I love you. I hope you come back. The next one is September 15th. Glory to God.